Introducing Ellen Weber on a Tuesday morning back in the Tzarit Gevin Beit Midrash with a nice group. And we're discuss lifeboat ethics.
Okay, so sometimes you have an idea and you're not sure it's going to work out. Let's be clear, I'm not sure this is going to work. But I'm interested in the topic, and generally speaking, no one ever figured it out until now. This year is really should be called things that Ellie is interested in and therefore is giving the shear on. So I'm going to need help because I could tell you the beginning, I could tell you the end. The halacha is clear, but everything in between is not clear. Let's start as follows. V'nishmarta ma'od nafsho sechem. A fundamental value in Judaism is that of human life. And the general rule is, overwhelmingly, you never sacrifice a life for halacha. Okay? In almost every single case, right, the rule is primacy of human life. Now you'll say, Kiddush Hashem, yes, the answer is there are three exceptions, and maybe those exceptions can be expanded from time to time. But in terms of values, it's clear that the Torah is for purposes of us to live. Okay? And it's not...
Not an option, or it's not a chovah?
Oh, yeah.
What's in your soul?
What's going on? Some Japanese people are broken.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Here we are.
Is that me? It's not really live. Look, it's off. You see, I'm shaking, and it's not exactly... Okay. Okay, so those are all the bad people. So, okay, so that's the first thing. On the other hand, there is this idea of Kiddush Hashem, which narrowly understood is sacrificing human life, is stating on some level, want everybody to know that it's not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that at least in theory, we have to be prepared to sacrifice our lives for God. I would say it this way. Practically speaking, God doesn't want it. In 99% of the cases, God doesn't want it. Just like an example I've used before, you know, I think my wife doesn't want me to sacrifice my life for her. She'd like to see me live. But there's something to the fact that in theory, I imagine that if it came down to it, I would sacrifice my wife for my life and my life for my wife and my kids. Right. You know, that's more a statement of conviction than it is a practical. Nobody wants it, right? God doesn't want it either. Okay, he saved his fiance's life, yes. Okay. Now you come to this week's parsha, where the topic is not what people refer to as lifeboat ethics, but bizarrely, the source for the conversation is in this week's parsha. And here the question is different. Here the question is, how do you value different human lives? Great. Everybody agrees that God wants us to live. Everybody also agrees that God wants us to save other lives. Okay. What do you do when it's your life versus somebody else's life? Broadly speaking, that's the topic for today. And there's a very famous and fascinating machlokas panaim between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Keturah. Okay. So let's start. This is the pasuk, the two pasukim in this week's parsha, where you'll see how sometimes. That's a very good looking man.
Yeah. Wow, there's great form.
Okay. Okay. I was going to give you the week off for making fun of you, but. Okay. So. The psukim in this week's parsha had nothing to do with lives, which is what's interesting. But sometimes the machlokas centers around words, even though you read the pasuk 10 times, you wouldn't see it. So here we go. V'chiyamuch achicha umata yado imach. Your friend faces its finances, faces like serious financial difficulty. V'hechazakta bo. So the Torah says you have a mitzvah to support him. Ger v'toshav v'chay imach. Whether he's a convert or he just does Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, whoever it is, we have an obligation under Torah law to financially support, you know, our neighbors. Now, how do you support it? So the Torah warns you, Al tikach me'ito nashach v'tarbi. don't take interest, which is obviously the way we would normally do it. I'll lend you money, but I'll charge you interest. Those are the three words that we're going to use. So before we if you just read the pasuk, what do you think? What does it mean?
But his life is no less.
But you don't be fancy. So if you just read the pasuk, if you didn't know that we're talking about lives, this isn't about lives, right? This is about money. So what would you say the pasukim mean? The words mean. V'chei achicha imach means.
Let him live decently. Let him live decently.
Yeah, that, what strikes me is the imach thing is, you know, he'll live with you. It's not a choice, right? No one's saying to me, you know, you only have, you know, you have two slices of bread for dinner. Give them both to you. No, v'chei achicha imach sounds like the way society works. Is, you know, we support people who need the help, and then we all live together happily. Okay, now we'll just go straight to the famous Gemara in Bab Metzia Samach Bet Amar Aleph. Shnayim shahayu mahalchin baderech. Two people are walking, you know, literally on the road, but really it means in the desert. Umiyad echad mehen kiton shamayim. One guy has a canteen. The Gemara says, here are the rules. Im shotim shnehem, if they share the water, meitim, they are both going to die.
Not the rules, but the mitziyut.
I'm sorry. Okay, good. V'im shote echad mehen, but if one person drinks all of the water, magia liyishuv. Okay, he could be relatively certain that he's going to make it to civilization and he's going to live. Here's the machlokas. Those are the facts. Darash ben Pitura, mutav sheyishtu shnehem viyamutu. Better that they share the water and both die. Va'al yireh echad mehem b'mitato shel chavera. And neither should see the death of his companion. Okay. By the way, that's hard to translate because literally it means va'al yireh echad mehem b'mitato shel chavera. But I suspect that his shita is more compelling if va'al yireh means one won't cause. I'm just putting it out there. Because otherwise, it's hard to understand how somebody could say, no, the Torah wants both of you to die. It can't be that that's what the Torah wants. It could be that the circumstances are such that the Torah doesn't allow you to kill your friend. And if the result is two deaths without a murder, then we'll be better off. Let's just finish. Rabbi Akiva, Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva Velime, which by the way, reads very clearly like the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Ben Keturah said, I think, Ben Keturah said, I think two people are walking. There's only enough water for one of them. The halacha is they both have to die. Okay? Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva Velime, no, he's wrong. V'chei achicha imach. Chayecha kodmin lechayecha vercha. Your life comes before. Your life is more valuable than the life of your friend. Now, before anybody says anything fancy, right? The machlokas is clear. Okay, again, two people, enough water for one of them to live. Ben Keturah says neither can cause the death of the other. Therefore, they have to share the water, and if they both die, they both die. Rabbi Akiva says no. The pasuk says v'chei achicha imach, and his drasha is, and I challenge you to find that in a simple reading. His pasuk, his drasha is imach, meaning your life comes first, right? Once you have secured your own life, you have an obligation to help somebody else. But it's clear that his drasha is v'chei achicha imach. His life doesn't come before yours. Now, There are two ways to look at Rabbi Akiva. One is, say it this way. What's the most famous thing Rabbi Akiva ever said? This is the guy. But I want to put out there, yes, I think it's completely consistent. Meaning, if you don't love yourself enough to save your own life, so then on what basis would you love somebody else to save their life? I think v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, to the, you know, understood most simply, is we understand that your primary priority in life is your own life. We would like you to apply that to somebody else's life. But it doesn't work here, right? If the other person's life comes first, bizarrely, then you get to drink all the water. Because he also has a mitzvah of the ahavta l'recha kamocha. He also has a mitzvah of the chayachicha imach.
I would say more simply, the chayachicha imach.
But before you give it, I'm just curious. Show of hands. Who feels strongly one way or the other? Again, Ben Keturah, they both die. Rabbi Akiva, I come first. No. You can't do anything other than vote.
Yeah, I'm voting for Ben Keturah. I'm telling you why.
You're voting for Ben Keturah.
Yeah.
1 second. Avram, quick.
Rabbi Akiva. I come first. I put my mask on before I put the mask on the child.
Oh, you follow how the stewardess passes.
But you still have to say in that person. Here you go.
Yeah.
Two together.
Huh?
Two go down together.
Really? So I'm Rabbi Akiva. It just seems to me counterintuitive.
To go in the church.
If the Torah, you know, values human life, how could the Torah be in favor of two deaths?
Better than two deaths. Yeah,
well, because it's possible that there's always a nest that can come.
No, we have a new rule. We have a new rule.
Zoom people can't talk.
Is there some aspect of doubt in the water?
Ah, so if Usher Weiss has a piece on this, not in the water. If Usher Weiss says, the facts could not be as black and white as the Gemara is presenting it. You know that this exact amount of water, he says it's got to be probabilities. There's got to be a chance. He said, a lot of people in a desert, you know, some Orchad Yishmaelin passes by. It's not exactly miraculous. You couldn't count on it. So to the extent you're asking, you know, how certain
it's
are we?
It's not like a parachute on a plane when there's one parachute. That would
no,
be
it's
more
not,
black and white.
That right. Right. But does anybody think, okay, I'm not going to use it?
It can't be. Well, it was really black and white. You know, just had the water and they're both going to die. I think they would have to leave the water for somebody else who might come along. They shouldn't drink it at all.
You're kidding.
No, I'm just saying it. That's, you know, if it's really black and white.
Okay.
You know.
But also, does it matter who they are? Like you and your child. Or an old man that said, why should you keep it if you might not make it anywhere? Give it to the one that has a better chance.
No, but you're changing it. One second, you're changing the facts.
Right.
And the reason I think, of course, Rav Asher Weiss is right, but I think the Gemara wrote it clearly to force us into the choice. To say, of course, it's the case that if one person might not make it with the water, the other person is healthy, you know.
But you have the water, you might make it. And you love yourself first.
Okay, so, but again,
What if the potential of your life is much, much less than the other guy's? Are you going to start measuring who's going to produce more in their lifetime? Who's going
to
be a better?
Got a lot of funny things.
Well, you're 85
and 15. I mean, how do you make that choice?
Based on age. That's why the Titanic.
Saw the movie. Great.
Seniors don't get on the boat. You have the women and children on the boat.
What? Because the lives of women. I don't think that's halacha, by the way. Why? The lives of women are more valuable than the lives of men?
Well, ostensibly, men were braver.
That was chivalry, based on chivalry.
Like that guy jumping in front of his fiance. Why did he do that?
If that's because he loved her.
Well,
why didn't she? He said, why didn't she jump on him?
Yeah, I feel real. Why did they say both? Because they should work to cancel each other.
Do this. By the way, let me point this out. 1 second. Okay, go.
Women and children first on boats. That rule didn't exist to 1898. It didn't exist before that.
You've got to be making that up.
No.
Who knows things like that?
I looked it up.
Okay. Well, you were looking stuff up, Bruce was watching. Was we rewatching the movie?
I mean, men were chivalrous, not having to write it down.
Okay. First of all, the one thing I learned from the movie was that, you know, if you had money, your life was more valuable. Okay. But let's be clear: the point we didn't touch, which David just raised, is: could you do it if you want? Right. Let's say you're walking with your wife. You just can't bring yourself. You know, to keep the water. So you go, yeah, if we both go down, we both go down. Because the question is, you know, is it a halacha that requires you? Or is it like lifnim mishur, or it's permission, Rabbi Akiva says, if you want, you know, you could do this.
I'm not sure. If you survive the desert, the other person dies, are you required to go to an Eir Miklah because you caused that death?
So we'll get to that. The key may be, did you cause the death? Right? I think Rabbi Akiva would argue, and it makes a lot of sense to me, you didn't cause the death.
Especially if you end up with half a canteen of water at the end.
You withheld the water from you. You indirectly led to the death.
Okay. Now.
By the way, none of us would actually do that, despite the fact of the vote. Well, if you're hiking with your wife, you're not going to say, you know what, honey?
It's not your wife.
Pretend it is.
Let's say I was hiking with you.
The halacha should not matter who you were. You're holding the water. So listen,
you're right. The halacha doesn't differentiate amongst people. But I'm saying in our lives, I think we do. Again, my understanding is Rabbi Akiva says you are allowed to keep the water. Not that you have to keep the water, not that you're obligated, that you're allowed to. So presumably, you know,
you'll give it to your wife.
And
we won't make it anyways. What's the point of that?
What?
You don't
know. One person's going to live. You're going to give it to your wife.
It's a 20-mile hike. She's not going to make it. You'll make it. Give her the water, so then you're both not.
And you're going to go home. You're going to tell her,
I
drank the water.
And she's going to complain.
Well, that's why I say you should share the water home. And Davin, hope for the best.
Inappropriate joke. But not so inappropriate I can't do it on Zoom. My father-in-law knows me that when he was in first grade and was in his yeshiva, so they learned the story of the Nachash. And, so this kid said to the Rebbe, I understand, they could have lived forever. You know, why? And the Rebbe said, and she would have nagged him for eternity.
Good answer.
Okay. Now, the question that all the Achronim ask, it'll help us focus, I hope, but I'm not sure, is there's another use of a similar word where there's a completely different drasha. Source number three, the Pasuk says, V'yakyam ha'elecha lo etzei me'imach ki ahevecha ve'et beitecha ki tov lo imach. Remember the din of Eved Kenani? Eved Kenani goes out in the seventh year, after 6 years. But if he says... Eved Ivri. Ki tov lo imach. So again, our word is v'cheachicha imach. Here, the ki tov lo imach. What's the drasha? The Tanya, source number four, Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Chav. Ki tov lo imach. Imach b'ma'achal v'imach b'mishteh. That you have to share with him your food, your clothing, your pillow. Shelo tehe ata ochel pat nikiya v'hu ochel pat kibur. Right? It can't be that you're eating, you know, steak and he's eating, you know, ground up meat. Ata shotei yayin yashan v'hu shotei yayin chadash. Right? You're drinking very valuable wine. He's drinking Carmel. Ata yashen al gabei mukin v'hu yashen al gabei atavin. You're sleeping on the new Swedish mat, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress.
Nice.
You know, and he's sleeping on straw. No, it's all awesome. Mikan amru kolakona eved ivri kikona adon la'atzma. Okay? But everybody asks the same question, which is, I don't say it's the same word, imach. There, imach means sharing. In our pasuk, Rabbi Akiva says imach means you keep it all. Okay? So everybody discusses this. Again, I think the general at Rav Asher Weiss is he thinks the answer is simple. One is money, one is life. They're completely different things.
Could be similar to that.
Huh?
Maybe you only have one pillow. Have to give it to him.
But one of the pshatim is, you're right. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, he gets the pillow. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, you get the pillow and you alternate. Here, with the water and person's life, there's no possibility to share, there's no possibility to alternate. So, but it does speak to the point I made at the beginning, which imach, right? Rabbi Akiva must have known something.
Well, that's not true, because if you,
it's not true.
Because there is a sharing possibility. It's a sharing possibility that is extremely limited by time, but it is a sharing possibility. The fact that they're each going to have half of the canteen will extend each of their lives a certain amount of
time. Excellent. So Achron called that chayei sha'a.
Okay. Literally, you know, who said that their lives are supposed to extend this? Maybe it was just to be that much more.
So it's funny. I don't know what to do with that. What allows us to be Mechal Shabbos for Makom Pikuach Nefesh? So one of the answers, one of the theories is Mutav L'Chalel Shabbat Achat, Sheyishmor Shabbatot Harbeh. So there may be a question, the question is, can you be Mechal Shabbos to extend his life? He's not going to get to the next Shabbos. You know for a fact he's not going to get to the next Shabbos. But the answer is we do it anyway. But I don't know how to quantify or qualify.
Duration is a question of resources, one of you. And therefore, yes,
let's put it this way. Let's say you're right. Let's layer on another fact. If you share the canteen, each of them lives 12 hours, for sure. That's a fact. Okay? Right. But if you don't share the canteen, let's say guy number two dies within 6 hours. I'm just making it up, for sure. But you could live for eternity. You know.
No, there's you live for 24 hours versus him.
The point is, at the end, if one person gets out of the desert, he lives for 100 years. So how do you, how do you match those up? I don't know. But that's the point you're making. You're definitely right that Chaye Sha'a is of value, right? If the person's not, you see like in the movies, if you spilled water on his mouth, it won't help him at all. So presumably there's no reason to do it. There has to be a value to sharing the water.
And you don't have to put yourself at risk. I mean, you don't have to drive someone to a war zone to go to the hospital. You might choose to, but you don't have to do that if your life is also at risk.
You might choose to. That's lo tamal damayach. We spoke about that recently. Right. That's like, you don't have to miss it to jump in a lake to save somebody if you don't know how to swim.
Right.
There you have to balance. For sure, it's the case.
So you can become a Balchub in the last 5 minutes of your life. If the last 6 hours that each has together, knowing that they weren't responsible for killing each other, one or the other, then who's to say that the value of that life is not better than, than one having enduring.
Okay, so the point you're making, which is the point I think that Avra made before, which is you're calling it a form of murder, which may not be fair. So let's read. Let's go back to the original source.
Ending life.
Terminating
life.
Okay, fine. Certainly. You call it terminating life.
It's not clear that it's indirect. You have one oxygen tank underwater diving, you take it, you're indirectly leading to their death.
Theory under which that constitutes murder?
Well, is that called murder? It's indirect. It's not that murder. But it's indirectly leading to.
Let's be clear. I think if you're underwater and some guy's swimming by with a tank, and you attack him and you take his tank, that's murder.
He could share the water by letting you breathe.
Too many movies you watch. It doesn't really work that way.
And he chooses not to do that, so you drown.
I know you watch Waterworld and
general stuff.
Okay, forget everything. Let's start back at the beginning, because otherwise we're gonna get lost. The pasuk says in source number 5, "Ushmar temet chukotai vet mishpatai asher yaaseh otam ha'adam v'chai v'hem ani Hashem." That is the source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. Okay, now the famous pasuk, which I don't want to get caught up in, but it is really famous. It's famous because it's important halachically, but it's famous because it's also it's historic. Here the Gemara tells you. Amrav Yochem Mishu Rav Shem Ben Yotzada. Nimnu v'gamru ba'aliyat beit Nitza Balu. That's the place, right? The guy's name was Nitza, right? And he had an attic. And I don't know what the Tanoim were doing in his attic. I guess he had a large screen TV and a foosball table. And they got together. That's where they hung out. Probably had good snacks. This is, because we know the players, we know this is during, right after Churban Bayis Sheni. It means for the entirety of our lives in the Midbar and all of Malachim and all that whole period that we were in Israel, this halacha didn't exist. Okay, what did they agree? Kol aveiros shebatorah im omrim la'adam avor. Va'al tehareg. Ya avor va'al yehareg. For every mitzvah in the Torah, somebody puts a gun to your head, and says, eat this cheeseburger, right? They're now telling us, you should eat the cheeseburger, okay? In parens, I want to point out, what does that mean? Does that mean until then the halacha was otherwise? It's not exactly clear. Presumably it didn't happen that often. But it's not, they're mechadesh this halacha now. It's not clear whether it used to be that Jews gave up their lives for everything, and now they came and said, no, you shouldn't. Or it could be that Jews never gave up their lives for everything, for anything, and now they're coming to tell you, no, there are three situations in which you should.
Or it could be they had a choice to do whatever they wanted to do.
No, I don't think so.
Or it could be that they had not invented cheeseburgers by then.
Ah, we'll have to use another example.
I think I could come up with another example. I think I come up with an infinite number of examples. Yes. Okay. I know that they invented women by then.
Right.
Okay. And there are some issues with women that took place in the Midbar and for those Midian and, you know.
No, you're right. Okay. So why?
Okay, good. So I'm just pointing that out. But now let's go. So Kalaver Shivatari Momim Ladam Avor Va'al Tehareg Ya'avor Va'al Yehareg. Why? V'chay Bahem, because the value is human life. Chutz Me'avodah Zarah V'Gilui Arad U'Shvichudah. Except for the big three. Again, we could have a whole conversation about why they are the big three and why others not. But the Gemara then has proofs for each of the three from Psukim, and then you get the last two, Arayos and Ritzicha, are connected. So the Gemara says we learn Nara Hamurasa, we learn Arayos from Ritzicha. So the Gemara says, okay, great. How do I know that if somebody puts a gun to my head and says, kill this other person, or I'm going to kill you, right?
Yeah.
That I have to allow myself to be killed? Svarahu. We have no proof text. It's a svar. Dehahu da'asu l'kamedu rabba, because somebody came in front of rabba, but amalei, I guess rabba told him the story. Amalei mare dorai. The governor, the mayor of the town I live in, you know, what's our guy's name?
Oded
Ravid. He came to me. I shouldn't say that. And he said, Zil katle leplani. Kill this other person. V'ilo katlin alach. If not, I'm going to kill you. I don't think he has that kind of power, friend. But okay. So, amale lik tuluch velo tiktol. You should allow yourself to be killed. And you cannot kill. And let's be clear, to make the point before, this is murder. This requires an active act. This is not taking away a canteen or anything. This is actively killing the other person. What's the svara? Interesting. The Gemara says, Miyemar didama didach sumaktfe. Literally, who says that your blood is redder? Dilma dama dahahuch av gavra sumaktfe. Maybe his blood is redder. Meaning, we're not in a position to play God. You do not get to choose that your life is more valuable than the life of somebody else. You simply don't get to make that choice. Therefore, when faced with a choice between killing this person, and again, this is murder, you don't get to say, I'm allowed to murder him to save my own life. Okay, that's the rule in the Gemara.
But where the can, but withholding the canteen from one is absolutely.
So I'd rather not jump there immediately.
Okay.
The point I want to get to is what's the comparison between the canteen case
right.
and here? But I'm pointing out here it's 1,000% clear you're talking about murder.
Is there any exceptions to that? Let's say the person's convicted of death sentence anyway. Or he did a crime by which...
So the easier case is, you know, yeah, when somebody's chasing somebody else with a gun, you get to choose. You could kill the person who's chasing somebody else. That's the din of Rodeh. Now, I haven't really thought through whether that's the decision there as well. He's a potential murderer. Clearly his life is worth less than, you know, we don't get into this. Well, this guy's a Nobel Prize winner and, you know, you're not. So... Or, you know, God forbid you say, listen, he's not a Shomer Shabbos. I'm a Shomer Shabbos. My life is worth more. It seems pretty clear that what the Gemara is saying, the halacha is, you don't get to make decisions like that. Right? Even if you have a really strong argument. Right? The guy's already convicted. He's in jail. My sense is lahalacha, there are no carve-outs for that. Sometimes we have in yeshiva, it's interesting. You know, where people sit around and ask questions. I go, press conference, whatever, you know. So on a Friday night, we were on a Shabbaton in Yerushalayim, and Elka was sitting in the back of the room, and a guy says, I have a question for Ellie. He says, let's say you're on a boat. It's you, Rav Aaron, and your wife. And the boat is going down, and you can only save one of them. You know, who are you going to save?
I would have taken out the gun right then.
So it was a funny question. So it was a funny question in all events. He was smiling. And also, I said, I have no idea, this is the halacha. I said, I know what the halacha is. I'm saving my wife. Whatever. Okay.
You kept the job. We're good.
Ravine was not in the room as far as I remember. But.
And Elsie didn't say anything in the back.
She smiled. She smiled.
She's very grateful to know that I. Okay. What's the svara? What's the svara? Rashi, source number 7. Rashi right there says, what's the svara that who says your blood is redder? He says, shalot titcha nefesh chavero. You don't get to make that decision and then kill your friend. De'ika tarti. Because there are two issues going on here. One, ibud neshama, murder. Two, va'avera. You're violating an aver. You're supposed to save somebody else's life if you can. Right? So Rash says here, the svara for why you're not allowed to value your own life over somebody else's is because by doing so, you are one, murdering somebody, and two, you are violating or you are not fulfilling the mitzvah of saving somebody else's life.
Because you're doing something active? Because you're being active? Because you're being proactive?
You have a mitzvah to be proactive to save somebody else's life. We all have
As opposed to the water where you're withholding, which we're...
But so let's see. Again, Rashi's not dealing with our case. Let's just try to understand the svara. Again, everything we need to know about our case is going to flow from the fact that one of the big three for which you have to sacrifice your life is killing somebody else. So first we need to understand why is that. We've seen, interestingly, that there's no pasuk that supports it. The Gemara says it's a svara. And now Rashi's telling us what he thinks the svara is. And what it sounds like to me is Rashi's saying the reason why you're not allowed to murder somebody else is because it involves two bad things, right? It's not just a question of whose life. Because by doing it, you're doing the bad thing of killing somebody else. Now, you might say, big deal. The two lives are equal. Either I get killed or he gets killed. But actually, but there's something else. The Torah also has a commandment to save other people's lives. So you're being mevatel that mitzvah. It's a funny svara. You're being mevatel that mitzvah. You're doing two bad things. And you're killing this other person. So therefore, you know, in the calculus of what's less bad, allowing him to kill you saves you from one, murdering, and two, I guess you are somehow mekayim the mitzvah of saving the other person's life. Because you've sacrificed your, it's as if you jumped into the lake and you saved this other person. So Rashi says, that's the svara. Okay? Ibud neshama v'aver, mipnei nafsho deleka elachada, ibud neshama v'hu lo ya'avor. If you're going to kill, if you allow yourself to be killed, so there's only one bad thing going on. When the Torah says you're allowed to violate the mitzvot in order to save your life, mishum diyikra be'einav neshama shel Yisrael. The Torah is saying it's a value statement, right? The highest value is the life of a Jew. Vahacha gabe rotzeyach, kevon disov sov ika ibud neshama. At the end of the day, says Rashi, there is going to be one dead Jew. Right? Either you kill him or Oded kills you. Right? There's no way out. So Rashi says when that's the calculus, kevon disov sov ika ibud neshama, lama yehe mutar la'avor. Hilkach, Dvar ha-makom lo nitan litchok. I'll say it again. Rashi said two different things. One was, if you allow yourself to be killed, only one bad thing is happening. You're getting dead. But if you kill the other guy, two bad things are happening. One, you killed him, which is equal to you dying. But two is you are mevatel this mitzvah that you have of saving another life. Second theory, which may be related or may not, says Rashi, the Torah has told us that the value of a human life is so great that you can violate the Torah. So what Rashi says here, how do I know whose life is worth more? The Torah says you can only violate me to save a life. Here, you're not saving a life. One of you is going to be dead when the story is over. So says Rashi, in that circumstance, we have no right to choose. You have no way to know.
What if there is a way to know?
You keep coming back to that. In our story, there is no way to know. And that's why I keep saying, I think the Torah is saying there's no way to know. You'll say, no, it's Rabbi Riskin.
Nothing unclear. You know, you're escaping a zone, and this guy's a driver, and this guy's badly wounded. He may not make it in. He can't drive, and you need a driver to get out of this. Otherwise, everyone's going to die. So he's clearly chosen to live. And this guy that can't drive or whatever, he's unconscious already. Who knows? So we're going to leave him because it's clear he's a
burden. You got to watch the last movie.
It's a good movie.
I don't want to.
I don't need that. I didn't even know what Titanic was when you said it. I didn't even know.
But in cases like that, where it seems clear to the group and they vote on it.
I mean, oh, so then it must be right.
No, I mean,
you and your friends vote to kill me. Well, very nice. Very nice.
Is it a democratic thing where people say,
it strikes me,
we need this doctor. We need the doctor with us for some reason on this jungle.
Democratic murderers.
And the other guy has no skills.
Okay, leave it. The way I understand the Gemara, there is no way. Okay? The Gemara I understand is saying, you do not have the right to choose, even though, you know, you campaigned among the group. I know how you did it, you know. And you told everybody that you can buy them a car, whatever you promised them, to get more votes than the other guy. My understanding of the Gemara is that we don't have a right to do that, right? It happened once in Tanakh. Right? In Yonah, it took a vote. They all realized it was him. Right. But then they didn't want to kill him. Right. Those people were pretty big tzaddikim. Yeah. And he said to them, no, you got to kill me. Right. So, okay, then they threw him in and, you know. Okay. So that's the source. Now, it strikes me that the real issue to discuss here is how much does our case of walking in the desert compare to the case? It comes down to, it strikes me, the definition of murder. It's clear that if withholding water is murder, you are not allowed to do it. Then it becomes one of the big three. Could that be the machlokas between Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva? That Ben Petura says, if you withhold the water, it's as if you killed him. And Rabbi Akiva says, that's not true. You may not have saved his life, but you didn't kill him. So
is there an ethics question versus halacha? When we try to reduce
the
halacha,
it's
very
I'm not going to be so flippant about it, but let's go. Okay? So Tosas is in a number of places, it's famous. Look at source number 8. Tosas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we just did says as follows. Vahadalo parichacha v'ester arayos havayi. The Gemara there asks an interesting question. Gemara learns out the big three. The Gemara says, wait, how was Esther allowed to sleep with Ahasuerus? Right? Isn't that, so the Gemara there says, isn't that Farhasya? Everybody knew that she slept with him, which changes the rules. But Tosa says, why did they just ask? Wait, it's Arayos. It's one of the big three. How could she have slept with him? So they say, Dekimle, de mahane taima de karka olam, le'inim de lo mechaive limsar atzma, mishum Arayos. Okay, so the Gemara has a different answer. The Gemara says, Esther karka olam, which means Esther was completely passive. She didn't do anything. So therefore, she didn't have to give up her life. Okay, so Tosa says the Gemara wanted to follow that line of reasoning with respect to Esther. They didn't focus on the Arayos aspect, they focused on even if she was Karka Olam, if she was passive, but if everybody knew or everybody thought that she slept with the Ahasuerus, isn't that a Chilul Hashem Befar Hasir? There's a million questions to ask, including, A, how did everybody know? B,
what she's trying to save.
Wasn't Jewish. No one knew she was Jewish. Okay, let's leave that alone. But now is the part we want. Tosfos in the second line says, V'rotzeach gufei ki mechayev limsar atzmo. When we say that you have to allow yourself to be killed rather than kill somebody else, Tosfos hani mili kodem sheyehareg biyadayim. That's if you're faced with a choice of active murder or yourself being killed. Aval hecha delo avin maisa. But when you don't have to actually actively murder somebody, for example, kigon shemashlichin oto al hatinok umitmaich, they're gonna drop you on a baby, and you will kill the baby, but you're not doing anything. So Tosa says mistabra she'ein chayav limsor atzma. Strikes me, says Tosa, that you don't have to allow yourself to be killed. When they say, okay, he puts a gun to your head and he says, either you shoot him or I shoot you, Tosa says, of course, that's murder. You have to allow him to kill you. Well, Tosa says, when he puts a gun to your head and says, I'm going to tie you up and drop you on this baby, Tosa says, in that case, as horrible as the case is, you don't have to struggle. Because when they drop you on the baby, you're not a murderer. You understand? It's true. The result is...
Even though there's a certainty.
There's a certainty. But I'm just reading Tosfos, and I'm quite sure that I'm reading it fairly. Mistabra she'en... Tosfos doesn't say definitively. It's interesting. He says, mistabra, it strikes me, she'en chayav limsar atzmo. It strikes me, says Tosfos, that you don't have to allow yourself to be killed in that case. Dematzi omar, because you could say, adirabah. My chaz is the dama de chavrai sumak tve. Dilma dama didi sumak tve came with the law of in Maisa. Tosa says the same theory we use to say why you have to allow yourself to be killed rather than kill somebody else, which is how could you kill somebody else? How do you know that your blood is worth more, that your life is worth more than his life? Says Tosa, but when there's no act, when you're not committing murder, you are just literally the murder weapon. Now, you could have fought it, but you're just the murder weapon. So Tosa says, you have the same right to say to the other person, why is his life worth more than me? I'm not murdering him, right? I'm just not preventing it. So it's possible, some people want to say, and I think it's pretty compelling, some people want to say, this is the svara of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is saying, it's not murder. If it was murder, you would absolutely have to give up your life. But when you keep the canteen that belongs to you, you're not murdering the other people, the other person. Yeah, you're right. Ultimately, by not giving him the water, that probably caused his death. But nobody thinks that that's, once again, nobody thinks that that's murder. And therefore, since it's not murder, your life comes first. Because again, if your life isn't worth anything, if everybody else's life is worth more than your life, that's not taking us to a good place, right? The primacy of human life starts with your life. It's not that God says, God says that human life is primary, but only that of the Gadol HaDor, only that of, you know, rich people, only whatever it is, can't be. Yeah.
But the person who has the canteen, there's no guarantee he's going to live either. We don't know if this is.
Again, that's why I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue the facts, because the Gemara takes out of the conversation.
That's not an issue. That's not an issue.
In any ethical conversation of this type, you have to assume certain facts. Otherwise, you just can't have the conversation.
Okay. All right. So it doesn't work.
But I think where I'm sympathetic to your argument is in support of Rabbi Akiva, which is, you don't know for a fact when you don't share the water that you're killing him.
Right.
By the numbers, it looks bad for him if he doesn't get water. Mm-hmm. But that's different. When I pull the trigger,
then you're gonna,
it's a certainty that he's going to die.
Yeah.
But that's not the case here. Okay, now, let's get to our last point. It's interesting, everybody knows that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the Gemara makes it sound like we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The rules of Psak Halacha are that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And yet, the Rambam does not quote the Shita of Rabbi Akiva.
Because it says Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva?
Yeah, I think so.
Meaning that...
First of all, generally we say, Halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro velo mechaveiro. Oh, any one-on-one machlokas, Rabbi Akiva wins. When he's in the minority, he loses. Okay. But I think it's Ad Sheba. Okay.
So because you're holding this water, you can keep it. If the other person could take it from you, is he obligated to do that to himself?
No, I assume that's much closer to murder. That's your case, which you run out of air. You're on vacation in the Bahamas where you like to go.
He's willing to share
with
the
colo money. Okay, what?
This guy that takes is willing to share it with you. So he takes it from you.
No, you don't get to do that. Again, it's like you're saying, I'm running out of air. Okay. I'm deep sea diving in the Bahamas, running out of air. Some complete stranger swims by, right? I conk him over the head, and I take his water tank. But I'm a tzaddik. I'm going
to
share it with him.
And you're both going to
do that. You don't get to do that. And again, in our case, neither of you gets to the top. I mean, you can't keep changing the facts, right? The Gemara says you're not getting to the top. So, of course, you can't do it. Okay. So, everybody wants to know what's up with the Rambam. The Rambam brings all the other Gemaras. The Rambam is a whole parak of Yahar, Val Yavors, and whatever. But look in source number 10. Here's the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Kol mi she'ne'emar bo ya'avor va'al yehareg. Okay, in a case in which a guy puts a gun to my head and says, eat a cheeseburger, and the halacha is, I'm supposed to eat the cheeseburger rather than be killed. If you allow the guy to kill you instead of eating the cheeseburger, it's a funny line. Right? The Rambam doesn't say it's optional. The Rambam says it's asur to be machmir. If you allow yourself to be killed over a regular isser, and the Rambam knew what he was saying, it's like a double loss. It's like your chayv misa. Of course, you're dead already. But so the Rambam makes it clear. It's not your choice. And that's an important point. It's not that the Torah gives you permission. It's that it's prohibited. And in our case, where a guy puts a gun to my head and says, kill Bruce, or I'm going to kill you, and I allow him to kill me, I get the great mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, next. Okay, so he puts a gun to my head and says, kill Bruce or I'm going to kill you. In addition to doing the wrong thing, when I kill Bruce, it's a chilul Hashem. Okay? It's even worse. Right? If I did it in shul, let's say. So that's a chilul Hashem barabim. Ubitel mitzvat aseh shehi kiddush Hashem, and I violated the mitzvah aseh of kiddush Hashem because I was supposed to. If I allowed myself to be killed rather than kill you, I did the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Now here's something interesting. End of the second to last full line. Va'afakim. Nevertheless, mipnei she'avar ba'ones. I'm not a murderer. It's true. I killed Bruce. But I'm not a murderer. I did it to save my own life. A guy had a gun to my head. The Rambam says, because it was an ones, ein malkinoto, and I'm not punished. The ein tzarich lomar she'en mitinoto. I don't get makos. They don't kill me. Afilu beitin, afilu harg ba'ones. Because it's an ones. So interesting. The Rambam, what the Rambam adds that we didn't see in the Gemara is that it's not murder. Our whole discussion was, well, somebody puts a gun to my head and says, kill this other person. When I kill him, it's murder. The Rambam says, in halacha, it's not murder. But it doesn't matter, because I directly caused your death. Right? Why is it not murder? Because it was an ones. Right? Because I was compelled in a way. I didn't have free will. So they can't, it's like, say it this way. It's like when a person gets off on an insanity plea. Mm-hmm. No doubt he murdered the other person. He just can't be punished for it. So I think the Rambam would have to be saying, of course it's murder, but it's murder that you get away with.
So it's Chil Hashem. You're over Chil Hashem and not being Mekadesh Hashem.
Good.
But it's not. You're not punished for murder.
So that changes something. So now, because we don't have time to do the whole thing, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva.
Yeah.
On this whole issue, in which he thinks that causing a person's death is murder. Mm. His example is, he thinks your friend fell into a pit. There's a ladder there, okay, from which he could climb out. And somebody puts a gun to your head and says, remove the ladder. He thinks that's Yahar Gval Yavor, because you're causing the death of your friend. Is it murder? Don't know.
He's entering into that gray zone of not direct, but indirect.
Okay, fine. But he thinks that indirect
that
is. Okay? But he has another idea. He says it's good that the Rambam passes like Rabbi Akiva. Of course he does. So why don't we have a halacha where he says it? So he says, because it's clear from other Rambams. Look at source 11. This is really fascinating. Here's the Rambam describing the mitzvah of tzedakah. Says the Rambam, mitzvat asei liten tzedakah la'aniyim kifi ma'shera u'le'ani. Okay, what does that mean? Kifi ma'shera u'le'ani.
We've learned this together.
Okay, what does it mean?
It means according to his standard in life, where he is in terms of his...
You get to look at the ani and make a decision how much money he deserves from you. But it's all contingent on Im haita yad hanotein masege. You have to have money in your pocket. Okay? It says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's not an onus. Meaning, he says the Rambam's not saying when a guy comes to you for money, you don't have any money. So you have the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's true, but it's an onus. You have to not have any money on you, so therefore you're not in violation of the mitzvah tzedakah when you don't give it to him. He says, no, that's the definition of the mitzvah. The definition of the mitzvah tzedakah is that you have money and a worthwhile person asks you for it. Then you have the mitzvah. He says it's not a limitation. It's not an external rule. It's the definition of the mitzvah. Similarly, he says, you know, the Yahar Gval Yavor rules, it has to be the case that you can make a difference. In Ben Keturah, in Rabbi Akiva and Ben Keturah, somebody, if you sacrifice for him, there's no benefit to the world. One of you is going to die. So he says the Rambam understood inherent in the mitzvah of Yahar Gval Yavor, or of the big three, is the answer to this argument, right? The argument is that when I choose to give up my life, I save somebody else's life, then I have a mitzvah. But in our case in the desert, there's no certainty whatsoever. In fact, the way the Gemara presents it, if I do this act of chesed, there's going to be an extra death. It's not going to lead to the savings of life.
Why not flip a coin and leave it up to God?
Let's just deal with what we're dealing with. When I flip a coin, I don't believe that God decides heads or tails.
So then leave it to life. Why should you?
And therefore what?
Why should
and therefore what?
Well, therefore, you're not making the decision.
And therefore what? No, practically speaking.
One will live, one will die.
No. What happens? You're holding the canteen. What are you advocating? What are you going to do with the canteen?
I'm either going to keep it or allow him to keep it.
No, there's no either. You just made it. You just said, leave it up to God. How do you leave it up to God?
By flipping the coin.
But that's what you mean. That's silly.
Very the same.
Let's say that the can is on the table. We can each run to grab it. We say, who should
but
take
that's
it?
Not the case. The case is clear. I'm asking you, how do you leave it up to God? If your answer is by flipping a coin,
well,
I'm dismissing
it. Every movie has the draw straws, and the man who draws the short straw loses. Therefore, yes. You're not deciding
that they don't decide halacha. It's a movie.
Sure it's a way to avoid responsibility.
We have many places.
Yeah.
Or Marshall and Rabbi. Movies for us, for us.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For example. There is a place where Aaron wins. When God tells you to draw straws, there's a difference between that and you doing it on your own. We, in the world I live in, I don't get to compel God to make decisions for me.
No, but the fact that
there was a time in my life where I very much wanted God to tell me who to marry.
Bruce, that's a way to assuage the feelings of the survivor.
No, but you happen to be carrying the water that's you. It's a group bottle you're carrying. So would you get to keep it?
No, but every time you speak, you change the case.
The case is you're holding the bottle.
The case is there's two people, not a whole group. Right. Not a teal, not a person who's injured and doesn't want to drive through Kosovo.
So,
whatever all your cases
I'm asking
are.
I'm not asking for facts, so I didn't see a bottle.
No, but I'm stuck. Okay, does anybody understand the point I tried to make in the Rambam, which is the mitzvah simply doesn't apply. If you can't save a life, the primacy of you know, that whole thing just doesn't apply.
Well, that's why in the desert case, you might be saving both lives. It's not the parachute case. When only one of you live with the
agent,
you both might make it. And why isn't it worth that chance?
So your point is so well taken if you just ignore the Gemara, which you're so
No, I'm taking the other position of the Gemara. There's two positions. I don't understand why Rabbi Kiva wins the position.
It's the facts that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the halacha. The Gemara's facts are, if you share the water, you're both dead. So you could keep saying, how do you know, maybe.
Isn't that always a suffering?
Huh?
How can they be clear when it's not the barrier?
Because in the world of halacha, you have to make some decisions. It's true. You know, if it's overwhelmingly likely that both of you are going to die, so then the Gemara says you can act as if that's a certainty. Right now, if you ask me, it's 51%, 60%, I don't know. But at some point, you cross a line.
So would it be three people, should they vote? I mean, why is there that holds the water decides? Let's say there's three that are, and one of them is holding the water, and there's three people on a hike in the desert. And then they're lost.
Why
they vote on who gets to, like, not get the water. Everything is a row. But why does the one holding the water decide?
Not everything is a row. It's not true. What if we all vote?
That's why we keep winning this argument. They took a vote and he won.
Huh?
How do we keep winning that argument? It probably took a vote.
No, you're confusing two Gemaras. The Sanhedrin thing is a vote. That's how the halacha was decided. That's not the same as saying that's a process that's approved by Allah. That's not the same as saying we got together in the desert. We all decided that you should die. It's just not the same.
Well, that's how they decide on every case in the movies. You have a vote case. They have to decide who's going to not get on the vote.
No, they could look it up. In the Rambam. Okay, they won't find it, but then they'll find the other Rambam, make a deal, and they'll understand that what
Great
the Rambam
movie.
Meant was.
Looking at the Rambam
yes,
in the movie,
right.
Standing by the boat, it's standing by the boat, 1898, right?
I didn't say you're on a boat, everybody votes that you should eat a cheeseburger. So you're gonna eat the cheeseburger?
Often the captain goes down with the ship for whatever reason.
That's also right.
I feel that's completely not responsive to my point.
And if two people can live and one person can die, it's not even odds.
So I assume that would change the facts. Yes, I assume that you're literally saving a life.
Right.
And then you come back to the general rule. But without that, okay.
Good.
We did our best.
Yeah.
Let's admit the problem. We didn't get very far.
We did, but we learned is don't take a tool with Ellie. Everyone has their own bottle of water.